Amen. Well, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have a good group of fellowship tonight with our brothers and sisters across the land. We praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time that you've gotten us into. You've gotten us in. And Lord, I thank you that you're building faith in all of us for the days ahead, so we'll be able to help a lot of folks. We thank you, Father, for all the things that you're helping us with, and that's dying to our flesh. And I praise you for allowing us to be a part of your kingdom, Lord. Thank you, Father, for coming to see us every now and then. Jesus, we just praise you and we glorify you, Lord, because you have made it all possible for us to be a part of this kingdom, and we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for blessing everybody tonight. And we ask for your anointing upon us, Lord, that we would do the things that you'd want us to do and not what we want to do. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless Kayla, too. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? I see you. I see you. I'm going to mention that right now. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Anna.
I could start us off with some prayer. I've been praying lately for just like the laborers who are already out in the field, so Lord, we just lift up all these people, Lord. We know the man-child's coming, Lord, but there are so many laborers already. The fields are already white in the harvest, and we just lift them up, Lord. We pray that you give them all the things that they need, Lord, that you give them seasons of refreshing, Lord, that you help them. We just bind weary and well-doing in Jesus' name, Lord. We pray that there would be that you'd send more helpers into the field, Lord, so these people are not just wearing themselves to the ground. Lord, that you raise up more people, Lord, that you send them the provision that they need, that you have mercy and grace on those who maybe have entered, like missionaries have entered other cultures, and life is difficult. And just in so many ways, Lord, it's uncomfortable and difficult. And we pray, Lord, that you just guide them and fill them all with the Holy Spirit, maybe those who are not yet filled or those who need to be refilled. We pray a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit onto your people. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray that everywhere they go, Lord, that the gospel would prosper and that you would protect their families, Lord, and protect them while they're out and about. And Lord, I pray also that you give them correct doctrine, Lord. So many people that go out and they're not maybe well versed in a lot of areas, or they've been taught wrong, Lord, but I pray that you would correct them in every area so that they go out there and they teach only the unleavened word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay. All right. Andrew, go ahead.
Hey, everybody. Hello. I want to bring up a prayer for Karen. She was working today and she ended up passing out and going to the hospital. And the doctors have told her that she has low blood pressure and that she is dehydrated. And so I'm just going to pray real quick for her and I'd ask y'all for agreement. Lord, Father God, we thank you so much for your divine protection over us. We thank you, Lord, for watching over us and guiding us in all that you have. And Lord, Father God, I rebuke any sort of curse that is put upon Karen right now. Any sort of curse that they're trying to make her believe in low blood pressure or dehydration, Father. Lord, Father God, we know that you supply all these things. And so we're going to call them liars. And we're going to call you the truth sayer. We thank you, Father, for this divine protection. We thank you, Father, for supplying all of our needs. And I rebuke any sort of doubt in her mind that that she has low blood pressure. Lord, Father God, enrich her mind in faith and truth that no matter what they say tomorrow, even if they have the bad report, Father, that she doesn't believe it and that she believes your word over all of it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for this healing. Thank you, Father, for this deliverance. Amen.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We believe with him. Hook our faith up with him and consider it already done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? I saw a while ago, David came up and we looked at the news briefly, and I saw where 45 million people were leaving the Democratic Party. That's a bunch of folks. I believe it was 45. Let me make sure. Well, I must have took it down. I believe it was 45 million people that left. Could have been 4.5 million, but I think I'm wanting to believe it's 45 million. Amen. They're gonna outlaw the Democrat Party, I believe. All right. We have a song for tonight. It's gonna be a good one. Let me get her. Okay, you got it, Julie. Got a song. We got a song to sing. Down.
How
I don't believe I've ever heard that one before, and I love it. It sounds good.
We played it once or twice before. You have to put it in your
Oh, yeah, I
repertoire.
remember.
George, what can I
Of
see?
course I do. No, I don't remember it, but yeah, I like it.
If you see George is here?
Huh?
Greetings, saints.
Well, George, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. He made it back. You've been off somewhere, hadn't you?
Hello,
yeah, off my rocker.
Okay. Praise God. It's good to hear from you, brother. You must be slowed down a little bit.
Yeah, we're starting back up. Students come back on campus tomorrow, but
Oh gosh.
I find myself awake at 8 o'clock, so I figured I'd try to get in there.
Well, good. Awesome. I'm glad you did. Certainly is good to hear from you. I keep thinking I'm going to call you, but I get busy and I forget it. But I'm glad you came in tonight. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to talk about before I get started? Yeah, Ben.
I'd like to share from Absolute Surrender by Andrew Murray,
Okay.
because you brought up love and selfishness not too long ago. It's been about a week or so, a week and a half or something. And it really gets you thinking about how, well, it's obvious that a selfish person isn't a good person. But when you really look into it, how we, when you're living a self life, it can really drive away from how God wants us to live in love, because you can't love somebody when you're thinking about yourself. And a lot of people try and incorporate that God's love to themselves, and it's hard to. It's not bad to think God loves you for sure, but it's the way that God wants to express his love through you. He loves you, but he wants to love through you as well. And it's not good to bottle that up. And Andrew Murray really just lays it out pretty simply. Why is a lamb always gentle? Because that is its nature. Does it cost a lamb any trouble to be gentle? No. Why not? It is so beautiful and gentle. Has a lamb to study to be gentle? No. Why does that come so easy? It is its nature. And a wolf. Why does it cost a wolf no trouble to be cruel and to put its fangs into the poor lamb or sheep? Because that is its nature. It has not to summon up its courage. The wolf nature is there. And how can I learn to love? Never until the Spirit of God fills my heart with God's love, and I begin to long for God's love in a very different sense from which I have sought it so selfishly, as a comfort and a joy and a happiness and a pleasure to myself. Never until I begin to learn that God is love, and to claim it and receive it as an indwelling power or self-sacrifice. Never until I begin to see that my glory, my blessedness, is to be like God and like Christ, in giving up everything in myself for my fellow men. May God teach us that. Oh, the divine blessedness of the love with which the Holy Spirit can fill our hearts. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And he sort of continues on a little bit later on here. Let me just. The heavenly graces, they were never found in the heathen world. Christ was in, needed to come from heaven to teach us. Your blessedness is long suffering, is meekness, is kindness. Your glory is humility before God, the fruit of the Spirit that he brought from heaven out of the heart of the crucified Christ, and that he gives in our heart is first and foremost love. And so there's the tender affection of love, and you know, we can get caught up in that sometimes, but this love that he's trying to describe us here is agape love, but agape love in action. We are agaping God by agaping our fellow man, our brother, or somebody else. God wants to live through you. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. He wants us to have this agape love towards all of mankind. That is the gift to the world. For Christ came to the world as a gift. This gift is still here, it's within us. And that's love, because God is love, and it's shed abroad in our hearts. We just got to believe it, and not just believe that God loves us, but he loves us so much that he can love other people through us. That's a really weird way of saying it, I guess, but that's how it is. Anyways, thought it was really cool.
You're muted, Michael.
What I said was that that's what we talked about the other day. In order to love like God, selfishness has got to go. Self has to die. And that's what God is doing in us. He's killing us so that he can live. We talked about it last time a little bit. That's good, Ben. Thank you. That's a good little old book. I've read it a number of times. Now I got to practice it. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, Julie was telling us that it was offered for free somewhere. I mean,
Yeah,
anyways,
Andrew is an eSword.
sword. Yeah, okay.
eSword, if you go to the resources, I think it's resources or
References,
references, resource,
references.
references. There's a whole bunch of books and stuff in there.
You go to eSword and go up to options, and where it says references. Wait a minute. Let's see. Am I right? Oh, I'm sorry. Go to download reference books. And you'll see a whole list of stuff that you can download from various and sundry. They've really got a good list now. Used to be just a few things. Now they got a number of them. Ian Bounds, Andrew Murray, A.B. Bruce, A.W. Tozer. Just a bunch of good stuff, it looks like. You can get it there. Download it. Probably PDF, I don't know, but whatever. Yeah, Judy.
It just downloads within eSword. It doesn't you have to it's, you open it and read it through eSword. It's not
Yeah.
a separate app or anything like that. It's just there in
You
your
can probably
resources.
copy it and put it in Word if you
Yeah,
wanted to.
you could do that.
All right, anyone else? That was good. Okay. I just wanted to speak a little bit about what I read this afternoon. I'm going to read a little of it. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's from Kenneth Hagin, and it's pray this prayer and be healed after 5 hours. And I'm just going to read a little of it and give you an essence of what he's talking about. He said, "What if I told you that healing isn't far away, that it's not something you have to chase, cry for, or wonder about because it's already been given to you? Imagine carrying pain for years and then watching it disappear in just 5 hours. Not because of a New Testament, or I'm sorry, new treatment, not because of a miracle doctor, but because of one prayer, a prayer rooted in the unshakable, unstoppable Word of God. This is not a story of chance, it's a testimony of truth. There was a woman just like you who had suffered long enough, she got fed up with it. But the moment she discovered what Jesus had already done for her, she made a decision. She stood on the word, spoke it, believed it, and praised through every second. She didn't wait for her body to feel different. She declared it done. And in just 5 hours, healing overtook her completely. And what happened to her is rare. It's the result of spiritual laws that never fail. Get ready. Don't just listen with your ears. Open your heart. Open your spirit, because what healed her can heal you, and your 5-hour miracle could begin right now. And when we talk about divine healing, we're not speaking from a place of wishful thinking or emotional hope. We're standing firmly on the eternal word of God. And healing is not something that we have to beg for. It's something that has already been provided through the redemptive work of Christ. And the Bible tells us in Psalms 107 and 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. The healing has already been released through the word, and our responsibility is to believe it, speak it, and receive it by faith. And when a person is battling sickness or disease, their body might be weak, but their spirit can be strong if it's nourished by the Word of God. And just like physical food strengthens the body, spiritual food, the Word of God, strengthens the spirit. The Word is alive, active, and full of power, and it don't return void. Every time you speak healing scriptures, you're not just reciting verses, you are releasing spiritual medicine into your body. Proverbs 4 and 22 calls his word life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Health to all their flesh. That means every cell, every organ, every bone, every system healed and restored by the living word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can't build faith in healing without hearing the truth of what God has already said about your healing. When people pray, often they hope for something to happen. But faith don't hope. Faith knows. Faith takes what grace has already provided. That woman who was healed in 5 hours didn't beg God to heal her. She believed what the word said, that by his stripes she was healed, and she acted on it. She prayed the word. She spoke the word. She thanked God for his word, and the word did the work. There's too many believers who wait for a feeling before they believe they're healed. But the word has to come before the feeling. We walk by faith, not by sight. Healing's not a feeling. It's a fact in the realm of the spirit. And your body may scream symptoms, but the truth is found in the word. Symptoms are subject to change, but the word never changes. You don't deny the symptom, but you do deny them the right to stay. You do that by speaking the word over your body again and again and again until your body lines up with the truth of the word. The word is the highest authority in the universe. God himself watches over his word to perform it. And when you put his word in your heart, in your mouth, and in your prayers, you give God something to work with. The angels move at the sound of his word. Heaven backs the word. And when you pray according to the word, you are in alignment with the will of God, and the power of God is released in your life. Jesus never turned anyone away who came to him for healing. Every person who came in faith received their healing. The leper came and said, "If you will, you can make me clean." Jesus didn't hesitate. He said, "I will be clean." And immediately the man was cleansed. That same Jesus is alive today. That same word is working today. And just like that woman who believed and was healed in 5 hours, your healing can manifest when you put your full weight on the word of God and refuse to back down. The word does not respond to desperation. It responds to faith. That's why you've got to speak the word even when you feel weak. Speak it when the symptoms grow worse. Speak it when you're alone at night. Speak it until your body has no choice but to align with the truth of God's word. And healing begins the moment you believe, not the moment you feel different. Don't wait for your feelings to confirm your healing. Let your faith declare it before it's seen. The woman was healed in 5 hours. And that wasn't because she was special, because the word is powerful. And that same power is available to us now. The key is to stop looking for new methods and start standing on the eternal, unchanging word of God. And that's where healing begins, and that's where it's completed. That's in the word. And faith doesn't wait for the natural evidence to confirm what it already knows in the spirit. True biblical faith declares the outcome before it's visible. And it calls those things which be not as though they were. And that's the essence of how the believer is meant to operate. That woman who was healed in just 5 hours didn't wait until her symptoms disappeared to say she was healed. She believed the word. She declared the word. And the manifestation followed suit. Her healing didn't start when the symptoms left. It began the moment she opened her mouth in faith and spoke in agreement with God. And that principle of speaking faith is seen all throughout the word of God. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, "Whosoever," that's anybody that wants to, "shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." And notice what the emphasis is placed on saying, because that's the law of faith. You got to say it, you got to believe it, and then you'll have it. You don't speak what you see, you speak what you believe according to the word. And what you believe begins to create your reality. And so many people wait to see a change in their body before they start giving thanks to God. But that woman in the testimony, she didn't do that. She had heard the truth that healing was already purchased for her, and she didn't wait for a preacher to lay hands on her. She didn't wait for a sign. She found a quiet place, lifted her voice, and spoke boldly what the word said about her condition. And she declared, "By his stripes I am healed." And she said, "Jesus carried his sickness, so I don't have to carry it." And for the next 5 hours, she refused to say anything that contradicted that truth. And she didn't let pain change her confession. She didn't let the clock discourage her. She kept her faith working by keeping her mouth in agreement with God. And it's easy to speak the word once, but it takes discipline to keep speaking when you see no change. And that's where faith grows. Faith is persistent. It's aggressive. It don't quit. And it doesn't adjust its confession to match the situation. It holds the confession steady until the situation bows to the truth of the word. That woman's mouth never wavered. Her words were filled with life and backed by belief. She wasn't trying to get God to do something. She was enforcing what God had already done. And too many believers think that saying, "I'm healed," while their body is in pain is a lie. But saying what God said is never a lie. That's the truth. Truth always overrides facts. The fact may be that pain is in the body. The truth is that healing has already been made available through the cross. That woman spoke truth until the facts changed. And she used her mouth like a sword, cutting down every symptom, every feeling, and every doubt that tried to rise up. And she didn't pray once and then sit down in silence. She prayed and then she praised. She spoke and then she stood. She kept her heart full and her words aligned with heaven. And the power of life and death is in the tongue. And that tongue's not a small thing. It sets the direction of your entire life. And what you say is what you see. You can't speak sickness and expect healing. You can't speak fear and expect faith. You can't speak doubt and expect miracles. And that's why it's not enough to believe in your heart. You have to speak with your mouth. Believing in silence is incomplete. And that woman was healed because her faith had a voice. She gave her faith an assignment. And she didn't ask her body how it felt. She told her body how to feel. I'm going to say that again. She didn't ask her body how it felt. She told her body how to feel. And that kind of faith doesn't come from emotion. It comes from conviction. And you have to know that God is not moved by need. He's moved by faith. And faith is released through words. And the word in your heart and the word in your mouth becomes a force that hell cannot resist. And that is how healing was enforced in that woman's life. She didn't wonder if it would work because she knew it would because God said it. And because she said what he said, healing had no choice but to manifest. And her mouth opened the door for the power of God to flow. And in 5 hours, her body caught up with what her faith had already declared. Praise God. That's all I'm going to share with that. But you see where all of that goes. We have to be so dogmatic in our thinking and our saying and our speaking that nothing else matters but what God said about us. All right. That's a true story, by the way. Praise God. Anybody got any comments? And that goes for anything that you need. If you need provisions, go to the Lord. If you have circumstances in your life that you won't change, go to the Lord and speak the word of God. You speak that word of God and it'll change. Go ahead, Missy. I'm still on the soapbox, but I'll let you get on.
Well, I got this little meme thing from somebody today that's not saved, and I've been praying for this person, and I'm going to read it to you, what it says, and then I'm going to read to you my response. It says, it has one of those from that movie, I forget what it's called, one of those minions, little guy. The little yellow guy. I forget what the name of the Ben there who said I'm talking what I'm talking about. Anyway, it says, I urge you to take care of yourself and avoid accidents because spare parts for old models like us are no longer in stock. And I immediately thought about that revelation that someone had, about the warehouse in heaven of body parts. Anyway, but I didn't say that. I didn't mention about that, but this is what I said. I said, "Oh yeah, they are in stock in heaven if I need one. I believe his promise of healing. The Lord has healed me of many things. All it takes to receive is repentance of sins and belief that Jesus took your place and died on the cross. He was without sin. His blood was shed to forgive and wash away your sin. God gave his son because he loves you. Salvation is a free gift. You don't have to do anything. You can't earn it. It's unmerited favor, grace." So I got in a little gospel message there. I was like, wow, I was like, thank you, Lord, for that opportunity, and I thank you, Lord, that this person received it or is really thinking about it. I thank you, Lord, for putting faith in their heart to believe it and come into your kingdom at some point, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for healing because it's ours. Part of our salvation, Lord, and I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. We all believe it, we speak it, we think it, and we are dogmatic about it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That woman She said, "Well, I've heard about the Lord talking about healing. I'm gonna go in there and get those scriptures." And she started speaking those scriptures over herself, commanding the sickness to go. And she didn't give up until God moved on her whole life. And that's staying in there, that's enduring in her faith. 5 hours. That's, we want to. I got a little old booklet that I go through. I read it one time and I'm through. I confess this, I confess that, I confess that I'm healed. She laid with it. She might have said the same scripture 15 times over, maybe 20. I don't know. Don't make any difference. It's the word of God. And she got healed. God healed her because of her faith. The more you speak the word, the more faith you're going to get, that you're going to have. Glory to God, I'm getting close. I know I'm close, and I've been speaking this word. Glory to God. And that's the way he wants us to operate. Just don't give up. That's what happens a lot of times. We give up too quick. I got to go check on my YouTube stuff. Well, what's more important, you getting healed or circumstances that you're in getting changed, or that person you're believing for gets saved, whatever, Boy, that was we know these things, but we when you see it like this woman did, you understand a little bit better what it is to endure in your faith to the end. Or I did anyway. I understood that you keep on speaking the word of God over yourself, over the circumstances, over your provisions, whatever it is, you're going to see results. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
Since Missy's mic's still open, Missy, did the person you sent that to respond in any way after you sent the text?
No, I didn't think they would, but I would have been shocked if they would have. Well, if they would have responded in a positive way, I would have been surprised. 'Cause I've sent, the Lord's given me other opportunities, and this person didn't respond. Just little things that I've put in, little opportunities, things pop into my head, but anyway, no, they didn't respond. But I figure at least this person didn't come back with anything negative. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that their wheels are turning. You got their mind moving and putting faith and questions in their heart, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, that same thing happened to me about when I finally got tired of getting being sick and funky feeling all day, and I just finally stood up. I said, "This is enough." And I just ranted and raved God's word through for gosh, I don't know how long, for not 5 hours, obviously, but probably for about 5, 10 minutes. And I'm sure David got an earful. But when I got through, it was over. I was healed completely. I mean, the pain gone, all the funkiness gone. It was I learned taught me a little bit of something. You got to get mad at the devil. Sometimes you just got to get mad at him and start throwing the word at him and commanding him. That's another thing, commanding him to be gone in the name of Jesus. And I don't mean maybe either. You bow your knees right now to Jesus, get out of here. Just tell him. Every knee's going to bow at some point in time, right? You might as well go ahead and do it now, devil. Okay. Anybody else? Am I the only one got moved by that? I guess I was. All right. Anybody got anything they want to share? And floating hearts. I got to remember how to do that. Hey, glory to God. Learning something new. All right, nobody got anything they want to talk about? That's a first. Yeah, Missy.
I keep forgetting to give this testimonies. This was like maybe 2 weeks ago now this happened. I had gone out up the road to turn left to go to the grocery store, and well, I turned left, and after I got down a little bit. Here, all of a sudden, there was this car that was the berm of the road is real wide there, and this car went on my right side around me, and I almost hit him. He almost hit me or whatever. He was just flying, and I was like, "Thank you, Lord, that I didn't get in an accident or whatever, you know." And I heard this little bit of a noise, almost like he might have just barely clipped me. I got out and looked. I didn't see anything when I got to the grocery store, but he must have came flying around the curve and down. It's like a curve around a curve and then down the hill. Must have been flying and came up on me quick or didn't know I was there or something and went around to it to keep from hitting me or whatever. And it just scared me. I mean, I thought for sure, I was going to hit him or he was going to hit me or whatever, but thank you, Lord, it didn't happen. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your angels, your Psalm 91 protection. That's the closest I've come in a long time of an accident. I mean, that close. I don't think I ever came that close to having an accident and not having an accident. Let's put it that way. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
Share
Amen.
that. Well,
Amen. All right. Anybody else? Ahead, Andrew.
I'm reading through 1 Corinthians, and I know we talked about this before, but I thought y'all would enlighten me again. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no one lay than what is laid, who is pre oh, sorry, and what is laid, who is Jesus Christ. But if any buildeth on the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, the work of each shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is being revealed in fire, and the fire itself shall prove the work of each of what sort it is. So what is this gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble?
I got distracted here. Somebody emailed me. Go ahead, Joe.
If I can understand it, now it means both on the foundation, that's Jesus, gold and silver. I would think it's in precious stones is God's people. Wood and stubble is your flesh. That's my thinking about that.
Did y'all get that?
Uh-oh.
Did you get it, Ben?
I can understand that. I'm just more thinking like, why are there different things that he's mentioning? Like, why is he mentioning wood and hay? Like, what's the difference between the wood and the hay? And what's the gold? And what's like, is he being broad here? Or is he trying to bring everything? Like, is he making different examples of things that people do? And so gold can be something good and silver can be something good, but what is these? Why is he mentioning the different materials?
Pat knows.
Good questions. Anybody got the answer, Pat?
Think Pat's got the answer.
So what did you I was thinking about something else, but when you said that, I was thinking tried by the fire. What was that scripture that you just read? 1 Corinthians
That's verse 13.
three.
3:13. The work of each shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is being revealed in fire, and the fire itself shall prove the work of each of what sort it is.
So initially, when I think of that, obviously, what fire, what fire does to the gold and silver, I don't know about costly stones, but gold and silver, fire purifies those two metals. When you boil or burn silver and melt silver, the impurities float to the top and then they scrape the impurities off. So fire, and then I kind of think of the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they got on the wrong side of the king there, and he got a little irritated, so he tossed them in the fire, and they were in the oven there with Jesus, and the only thing that burned off were their bondages, and of course they came out of that fire and were exalted in the kingdom, etc. But I think generally speaking, what I'm thinking is that fire, it in the case of gold and silver, refines and purifies and makes it more valuable, where that same fire, of course, completely destroys wood, hay, and stubble. One, it purifies for an everlasting or a, I guess you might say an eternal value, because it is not destroyed. But the wood, hay, and stubble, it is destroyed in the fire and is a temporal of temporal value. So that's kind of the only thing I'm thinking of right now, well, at this point anyway.
All right, go ahead, Andrew.
Just another question then, because it says John the Baptist said that I baptize you with water, but the one who comes after me will baptize you with fire and in the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to have a question or an answer or a comment about that fire. Just is a fire a tribulation or a that comes upon us that we are being tried by fire? Or, he uses the willowing fan too, so there's a fire representation there. where the chaff gets blown away with the Spirit of God and goes into the fire, but the grain goes into the garner or the barn. I'm not sure whether it's garner or barn. So what is this baptism of fire? I know that in Pentecost, when they had tongues of fire upon them, and of course, I don't know if that's when they were speaking in tongues, when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, the apostles or those in the upper room there, or what was that? You know, the tongues of fire would bring healing and remediate the things of the flesh, because the things of the Spirit cannot be burned. So I'm just commenting. What is this baptism of fire? Because it's an immersion into something. So, because that's what baptismos means. So, just asking that if these two verses about the baptism of fire and what Ben asked, is it do they relate? The gold, the silver, the precious gems, the wood, hay, and stubble. Yes, one is carbon paste and it'll burn out, and the gems will be purified. So the baptism of fire is for the vessel of honor would be better than the vessel of dishonor. I'm not the baptism of fire. Yeah, immersed in the.
I'd like to make a comment about that. In Corinthians, especially in the beginning part of Corinthians, Paul's talking about how people are sort of not making denominations, but they're making sort of separations. Like, I am of Paul, I am of Peter, I am of Christ. And so I think he's sort of making the line of like, look at these works that you're doing right now, and you're building foundations on these sort of words, and that they're sort of going to get burned like wood, hay, and stubble when comes the fire. Now, that sort of spirit of division 2,000 years ago, now it's getting built up by all this wood, hay, and stubble that's super not foundational. And you can even see, like, worldly people can see the creaks and the cracks of the foundations. And so he's sort of pointing to, like, I think the day is sort of a sign of tribulation. And so you're going to see the works of all of these divisions. Like, you're going to see the end of these divisions because they're all going to get burned up. And we're kind of seeing it today, right now. Like, the church is sort of, well, the mainline church, the Christendom, I guess you could call it, it's sort of getting, you know, shaken up and burnt up, and it's losing its foundation because they're not following the true foundation. Even some worldly people are calling them out, like, hey, you're not doing this. Like, what's going on? And so that's my take on that. I brought it up because I thought it was sort of like a Holy Spirit fire building up in you, but I think it's more tribulation, the fire, the day of the fire, or whatever. That's my take on it. And, well, look at the bad foundations that these denominations have. Sometimes they can have some good stuff, but if it's not from the Spirit of God, it's not a good foundation. Right.
Let's read what it says.
That's for sure.
Sorry, what was that, Michael?
Well, what I'd like to do is just read Matthew 3:10, and then do verse 3:11. And even now, the axe lies at the root of the tree. Every true tree, therefore, that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is honed down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you in water, unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. And whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the garner, but the chaff he will burn up with unquenchable fire. So, yeah, that's you got to bear the fruit of Jesus. That's the fire burning up the chaff. The chaff is no good for anything but burning up. The fruit is what he's looking for.
Yeah, just like there's another tree verse there where every good tree produces good fruit and every bad tree produces bad fruit. It says that somewhere else too in the scriptures. So there's bad fruit and good fruit. And, we don't want to partake of bad fruit. You know, the bad fruit would be the Apostle Paul is agreeing with him, the fruit of the flesh spirit and the fruit of God's spirit in Galatians chapter 5. So, you know, to be fruitful and so to be fruitful and multiply, as God said in Genesis chapter 1, could have another meaning to it with the seed of a man. And the man here is Jesus, who intercedes in that day when we receive our salvation, and we have the dawn of grace for that person to be birthed, the unmerited favor, so that this person now, because he's a baby, can have favor with God and grow up. To produce more and more from the Lord. Because, you know, you get saved and you realize just how bad the world is and how bad you were. Some people get that, like, automatically, and they go, wow. They start thinking about their salvations, and it really makes a clearing for them at that first day, you know. If you can remember back that far for some of us, you know, how it just cleansed you and took all that stuff away, you know, how things were more serious to you when it pertains to God. And it just made a clearing, a cleansing. It's kind of sounds like a fire that burns away all that chaff that you had and produced that last portion of fruit you needed to be birthed that day. It was a struggle for that to happen, but it was a process after your salvation message that it was clearing you and cleansing you with this, just the information that you attained through churchianity or denominationalism, that you were cleared of a lot of stuff and birthed, you know. So I'm just wondering, and sometimes does it come to an apex and then just people give up because of the divisions? Because, you know, there's more than just denominational division. There's division in families. There's division with friends. There's division with countries. And I don't know why they call it a UN. I think it should be a DN, divided nations. Because there was not too much unity, and with this other unity of religions, like, where's that going? You know, I think it should be the not the URI but the DRI, Divided Religions Initiative. And that's why when you try to mix this iron and clay together, it as you can even see physically, I mean, how many how many different peoples are being mixed up in all the different nations now, especially when it comes to if you want to open a bank or something in another nation, you know, because you open your company over there, maybe because they need you over there, and even in Saudi Arabia or something, to be an architect or how to drive a cement roller or something. And so the mixing of these nations, especially through commerce, really makes it wonder, you know, that that they're making rules here that that can start wars, even, you know, and the James chapter 4 is going to happen more frequently, I think, if the Christians aren't reading James chapter 4 concerning wars, fightings, and killings, and you know, so if it's every, as it says in James, faith without works is dead. But, you know, in some places it says every good word and work, every good word and deed. So just something to think about, that your deeds are in accordance to your word. Well, that's just back to my foundational idea of every word read, every word spoken, every word heard, every word that pops into your head has a spirit attached to it. So, you know, there is lots of slander and lots of hatred. It's I can sort of sense it is getting a little bit better in the world. And they're trying to do something, but let's just say we know what the word says about that, and the peace that they want is not the peace of the third fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatia. So love, joy, peace, they don't know what that peace is. They think it's the end of hostilities in the dictionary. They don't think of the peace like we know the peace, where the two are made one, thus making peace. So they got a different peace. So, I've been looking at division, and you know, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and he who loves it shall eat the fruit thereof. So there's two divisions there. Which one side do you want, you know? And division is very massive. And I think this is why the Lord told us that we should love each other in the obedience of God, you know? Anyway, I'm just thinking about unity is what the Lord wants in his family, not division. Because division causes all sorts of sin. Because it leads to other avenues. Because anyone who's ever gotten into an argument, it compiles, because then when you say something that is offensive, the other one says it, and it just, it, you're battling each other with a tongue lashing afterwards, and we're not supposed to do that, you know. It's just so sad that the church doesn't teach about spirits and how they work, and how to recognize things, because I've heard of some things going on now that should never be in the church. And how can you speak baptism of fire when some of the things that I hear that are happening now and going on, I kind of hope they're just a lie, you know? So I'm just going to leave it with that.
Amen. Go ahead, George.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I've always been intrigued by that baptism of fire. You know, you hear testimonies of sanctifying moments in people's lives where they just become almost a different person, like much more holy and powerful and close to the Lord. And I don't mind if God, you know, I still will seek that if it's available, if there's some kind of defining moment of baptism of fire. But I also, just as an anecdote, kind of think, you know, the Holy Spirit is given, and one of his duties is to remind us of Jesus and what he said and to testify of him. And if he is our Lord and King, and the Holy Spirit is in our daily walk reminding us of his character and his words and what he did and said on the earth or live, because he is alive, then we have the opportunity to act in our flesh all the time. But when we're constrained by obedience, our soul life and our flesh feels the burn of not being able to rule. And it's like if somebody cuts you off in traffic and your flesh wants to react, but your obedience and training and discipline buries that impulse, then it is kind of a burning. It's like a fire that just goes straight through you that says, God put me here to love. I'm going to be like him. And boy, the old me would be dancing in circles right now, but here I am, a child of God. Isn't that wonderful? You know, and you just turn what the enemy means to destroy us into something good. And it is a, I believe that is a purifying fire in itself. And I think David talks a lot about the trials in life being that fire. But if God wants to do it a different way and do a quick act in me, I'm open to that as well.
Amen. Thank you, George. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
I remember vaguely something David said about that is, you know, just real quick, was the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what you need to go through fire, to go through all the fires. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to go through the fires, because that's where you know, you need the, his strength, you need the wisdom, you need the understanding, you need all that, because you're losing your life. Your flesh has to burn up, and our fleshy works have to burn up. And that's what I was thinking, Ben, was the wood, hay, and stubble. I was talking about the works, you know. I was talking about the works. And Joe said the foundation is Christ. I don't know if you heard him say that. He said the foundation is Christ. And the works, the precious stones, are what's, you know, or something that's valuable, whereas the, you know, our works in the kingdom are valuable, you know, because they're godly. It's our sanctification thing, getting rid of our flesh, you know, and the other stuff is the flesh, and we don't want any of those fleshy works left over, you know, we want all that to burn up. So that's kind of what I was thinking about that briefly.
Okay, go ahead, Andrew or Ben.
You know, I was just reviewing some of the things when you look at all the things Jesus had to go through, all those things the apostle Paul even listed, what he had to go through, were these baptisms of fire, I guess, and of course with the Holy Spirit. I think they come as a dual entity. When you go through some of the things that that burns up your flesh, you know, and that seems to be really, I think why the baptism of fire and the Holy Spirit work in a unity there when it's needed that way. But sometimes, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes differently for a different kind of fellowship, too. You know, it depends on who you're with, too. So to come into agreement with that Holy Spirit is a wonderful thing, you know, to carry the same witness of it as it, you know, as the Spirit and water and blood. And I guess that's why that woman got her answer in 5 hours.
Amen. How many of you believe you're going through the fire right now? I got both hands up. Yeah. Well, there's a reason for it. We go through the fire now, we won't have to later. Yeah, Pat. Yeah, we're dying.
Well, I was thinking about that baptism of fire, you know, and the Holy, you know, because of that verse there in, you know, the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. But if you go to, of course, the previous chapter, and you see, you know, a Paul talking about, you know, basically talking about man's wisdom as being void of, you know, of the truth of God, you know, and therefore God has provided us, excuse me, His Holy Spirit that we can receive, which provides us His perspective on the things, on number one, His perspective in the Scripture and the Word, and His perspective related to the circumstances that we go through. Because there's a purpose in the things that we go through, the struggles or the difficulties or the oppositions in our life. And in a sense, we have two options. We can respond to those circumstances the way the natural man does, or the carnal perspective. But again, God gives us His Holy Spirit so that we can view those things through His perspective. And in a sense, take them as positive nourishment, even though they may appear negative, or the circumstances may be negative, but God gives us His Spirit in order to view them through His eyes and see His solutions in applying His truth to those. And somebody's already said it, that when we take those solutions, when we stand in that truth of God, that natural man is denied, and his strength wavers. The natural man's strength wavers there when we are able to stand in the truth. And it's through that time that grace, that burning off, or, you know, like George is talking about, that old nature or old natural man is burning. You know, he's burning in that. And that natural man, of course, is the temporal. It's the carnal perspective of this earth, which will soon burn in its own fire, you know. So, as we go through those fires, and we learn not only to discover the truths that the eternal, long-standing truths, foundational truths that endure those fires. We're able to stand on those, discover them, and then we're learned after a while, we learn to rest on them so that when we go through those fires again, they don't seem to affect us. I had a, as I'm saying that, I had an experience that. Well, I'm not going to get into that. It'd be a long, long story. But when I remember, the Lord took me through a time of, I guess, I don't remember the example of the teaching that I had, but it was taken from the perspective of Abraham. Sacrificing Isaac, or taking him up to the mountain to be sacrificed. And building that altar and dedicating that, he dedicated his son to God, gave his son to God. And was willing to, put him on the altar and kill him. I mean, that's basically what he's doing, sacrificing him. And in a sense, he had to give he had to, by faith, give that son into the hands of God. And of course, it says when he did that, I think somewhere else in the rest of the scripture, because of the fact that Isaac was the answer that God had promised him of a future generations, and that the future generations and the nations of the world would be blessed through this child. He knew for a fact that if he had to sacrifice, obey God and sacrifice Isaac, that God would just have to raise him up again, because God can't contradict his own word and his own promise. And by faith, he offered him up. And of course, God worked it out. But the interesting thing in that story, though, that I saw was that when God stopped him, Abraham raised the knife to take his son's life, and God stopped him at that time, and he said, "Now I know." Now I know, and I wish I was thinking of it before I could listen to bring up the verse. But there was something there. There was a test for Abraham, and he was, and I heard it taught that God didn't know before that time, what Abraham would do. Now, I kind of think God is a little bit bigger than that, but the test was, he told Abraham that now I know that you would not withhold your only son. And Why I said that, though, the Lord took me through a time of doing that, so to speak. But it was with everything in my life that God has given me, everything. My life, my family, my home, my employment, my future, my my hopes for the future, all those things. And one of those things, I just sit down and wrote down these categories and put them up there. And I prayed with every one of those and mentally and visually put them on that altar and gave them to God. Excuse me. And the teaching that I listened to at that time, as I was studying that, the idea was that those things that are detrimental to you, or those things that God wants to remove from you, he will remove. And those that he doesn't remove but gives back to you, like he did Isaac, those things are still not yours. He accepted them, but he gives you the privilege of handling them, of as a steward. And but any way you look at it, they belong to God. They are his ownership and my responsibility to take. And there was such a freedom in that, in a sense, because I know that when I went through, personally went through some things that later on I suffered, I'm going to say, significant loss, I was able to embrace those circumstances through his perspective. I don't know why I'm getting emotional about this, but and my heart was free to worship God in that time. Now, I guess, specifically, I'm talking about the loss of my son. But even though it was devastating, I was free to worship God and I was able to honestly and freely thank God for giving me the time that he gave me with my son, as opposed to the time that I think I expected he should owe me for, like, a 70-year life or 60-year life, or whatever. But I was able to thank him for what he did give me. He just set me free. He burned up the dross in that time. He burned up things in my life, but he set me free in order to see it and go through that through his perspective. And in a sense, his Holy Spirit was a fire. It was a fire to that old natural man that would have never responded that way. That natural man would have gotten angry, probably bitter. You took this away from me, or however, there's a thousand ways the old natural man would have responded, but he put that natural man to death in that particular aspect and set me free. So I can certainly relate that that time was a time of fire. When he burned away a tremendous amount of stubble. So anyway, I don't know, I'm kind of rambling now, but anyway, I have to quiet me.
Amen. All right, George, go ahead.
Lining up kind of what Pat's talking about. The word's talking about what we build on the foundation of Christ. And it reminds me of the fishermen who were toiling all night but couldn't catch anything. Nevertheless, at your word, Lord, and they obeyed Jesus and brought a harvest. And that's like our life, our spiritual life, and the trials and the denominations and everything that we outgrow to become sons of God. The wood, hay, and stubble are the things that we can't put those on the foundation and expect to build on those. But then when you go through life-changing moments and growth and humbling, it's like when the saints of old crossed a river or had an epic moment, they would stop and build an altar. And those altars still stood through time. People found them again. And it's like Pat going through that enormous trial, but it's a costly stone. It's a moment that he treasures with the Lord, and he can build on that to become that vessel of honor, of gold and silver that God is forming as we mature through those moments in time that we look back and build on and can point to. Maybe it's where we stood for healing, or somebody put us to the test of whether we really believed that we could lay hands on the sick and they would recover. And we got the experience that took away the arguments forever. So I think maybe it's a progression of growth and maturity and being, the hope of glory, God in us, the hope of glory, getting totally rid of that old man. Anyway, thank you.
Amen. That old man needs to go. Lord of God. Amen. Anyone else? I'd rather burn it up now than burn it up later. Go ahead, Andrew.
So, we're in a wilderness, and the water is provided when we go through things. The waters of his word that sanctifies and cleanses us. And I'm fairly sure they did sacrifices too. And the Holy Spirit, pillar of fire and pillar of smoke through the wilderness, they followed. And they had the temple with them and the light of Israel. So, and the rock that Moses provided, the Lord provided water in the wilderness for that particular time that has you to overcome. You need the word to overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, and we didn't love our lives unto death. Yeah, so I was just making a comment there on an allegory or a type and shadow. proverb or figure, example, parable, all seven of them.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, he gone. George gone. He's gone. All right. Lord bless George. Give him time to visit with us every now and then. It sure is nice. He's got some good insight, as do everybody else. All right. Anyone else? Don't talk with your mouth full, Missy. Now I'm just saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking about everything that everybody was saying, and I was thinking about several years back. I was going through fiery trial, and I'm still going through that fiery trial. But it's gotten much easier. But, you know, when I realized, okay, there was something that I was trying to get out of, you could say, and it was causing me to sin. And, one day it dawned on me, and I think it was probably something that David shared in the Bible study, kind of like crucifixion. When you're crucified, you know, if you give in to the crucifixion, then you have more Jesus. Without crucifixion, there's no more. You don't gain the Lord any. Basically, that was the gist of it, you know. But it dawned on me that I was running from being crucified. That was the gist of it. And when it dawned on me that's what I was doing, and that without allowing the Lord to crucify me and submitting and obeying, I wasn't going to go any further than the Lord. And that, you know, I see that being crucified, the same thing as having the wood, hay, and stubble burn up. That's my flesh, you know. It's just another way of saying it. And it's kind of cool how the Lord says the same thing in several different ways. So when I'm thick-headed in one area and don't get it, then I can get it in another area. But anyway, but yeah, so when it dawned on me that that's what I was doing back then, and I still confess this, but back then, what helped me overcome that sin was to just confess over and over, I'm dead unto sin, alive unto God. I've been crucified with Christ, and I don't live anymore, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. But it really does, you know. I mean, that's just one big example, you know, I can think of. Just confessing the word over and over helped me to overcome in that particular area. And one thing that I learned too is help me overcome in an area. In another area, is just apologizing every time I stumbled, and just humble myself and apologize. That just burns up That just burns up the flesh. But so anyway, that's my take on the subject and some of my experiences. And I just praise and thank the Lord for, you know, you can, you know, I used to think that, well, maybe I can overcome in this area or in anything just by reading the word and listening, you know, to other people's experiences that have gone through the same things, that I don't make that those same mistakes or whatever. And but you know, it's like there's just no way, I've learned there's just no way without the Lord sovereignly arranging fiery trials, situations, you know, that will test me, you know. What are you gonna choose? You gonna choose the flesh, or you're gonna choose the spirit? Are you gonna choose me, or are you gonna choose, you know, the flesh? Are you gonna be, or you know, like the whole self thing that we've been talking about, you know? But now we have to go through, as much as we hate them and we hate it when we fail, I've learned that my biggest teacher is my failures, as much as I hate to fail. And I think we can all say that probably, you know, as much as we hate to fail, you know, I've heard David say, you know, next time you don't fail quite as much as you did the previous time, and so on and so forth. So anyway, thank you, Lord, for all those fiery trials. Count it all joy when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving your faith works patience, and that patience have its perfect work, that you may be in top. Perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Woohoo! Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Y'all get ready. September the 24th is Rapture Day, according to Paul Washer. Oh.
What should we do that day? Be ready. How are we going to be ready? Should we be partying, ready for looking for Jesus coming to the sky?
It could be.
I'm
Could be.
teasing. That wasn't nice of
That
me.
was the
Anyway.
headlines. Boy, howdy. Thank you, Lord, for your truth of your word. I can see right now there's people here don't believe that.
Well, you know, if you think of it, he really didn't say resurrection. So it might be a wonderful rapture time for someone being born again that day or something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Lord, we thank you for straightening out people. I know you will when the time comes, because when tribulation hits and they're still here, there's going to be some confusion in the ranks, and we'll be able to just tell them where it is in the word and find out. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Yeah, Pat.
So I'm back on that scripture, and I'm wondering now, after we talked about this, and I just want to copy something out of here real quick. So Ben brought up, I'm looking here for, oh, here we are. So if the fire, you know, purifies gold and silver and burns up wood, hay, and stubble, what does it do? What's the costly stones? What does fire do to stones? I don't have any costly stones as far as diamonds. One of the things I was looking at is in Revelation 21:19, he's talking about what is he? City lieth. Is that well, I should have read that before, but I'm not going to now. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony or something, and the fourth emerald, sardius, fifth. I'm not going to go through them, but my thought was, what does the fire do to stones? Is it, I mean, that's, it's kind of a general question. Does anybody, does fire, I don't think fire destroys a diamond, does it?
No, not
What
the
would be
stones that
the,
will. Stones that'll blow them up. But diamonds and
stones?
rocks that'll explode.
Sardis,
I don't know what
crystallite,
that is.
crystallith, beryl, topaz, chrysophase, jacinth, amethyst. I don't know what all those things are, but what does fire affect those things? I wonder.
I don't know.
I
I've
mean,
never had
I'm
one
just asking the
to
question. Yeah.
do
Number one, I don't know it about 90%. Funny thing about it is I don't see diamond in there. That's the only one I know of it. Anyway, Missy had a thought there, I think.
What's your thought, Missy?
Heat and pressure.
What?
Heat and pressure, the fiery trials, and also Paul says, pressed on every side. Not, I think it's 2 Corinthians 4. Talks about
I
that,
think they
pressed on
can
every
make
side.
diamond. I think they can make diamonds now. And I think you're right. I think it's with at least pressure. I think heat's involved too. Go ahead, Julie. I don't know, but I think I heard something about
Well,
that.
aren't those aren't I don't know what all those stones are either, but aren't a lot of those mined in the earth? Aren't a lot of those stones they find in the earth? I mean, I don't know. It all means something. I know that that's the foundation stones for, the foundation stones of in Jerusalem, right? And that's what they're also on the high pri on the priest's ephod. Oh, that's right, not the ephod, the breastplate. There are all those 12 stones are also on the breastplate of the dress, the garments that the priest wore when they went into the temple to make the sacrifice and the offerings and all that stuff. But I don't know that there's anything on the website about that. You might be able to find something in another search, like what they all mean. I don't know how accurate you'll find, but I'm sure all those stones have a symbolic meaning. Why else would they be listed, right? Everything has meaning in them. But I was just wondering, I think a lot of those stones are mined. They come from the earth. They're mined in the earth. And like this, the pearls, that those pearls, I understand. I think they only come from the ocean, being in the oysters and stuff. And some of those are very, very expensive, depending on where they are. Joe's got the answer, though. He's got his hand.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, I don't have an answer. That's something to think about. If you think about gold, it's 100-fold. So silver is 60-fold, and stones it's 30-fold. But I think why it's a couple of stones is because there's three part of stones. The first part is right now cast down. The second foot is in tribulation, and the last foot is going down, and the last foot is going to the fiery trial and tribulation to be purified. Does it make any sense to you, Julie?
No, I'm sorry. It didn't make any sense to me, Joe. I wasn't able to get all what you were saying. Michael, are you able to?
Not really.
Anybody able
Joe,
to get
run
that?
Run that by us again.
100% is gold. 60-fold is silver. The stones is three parts of stones. In the Bible, it took best three, a third. A third is going to fall away right now. A third is going to fall in tribulation. And the last third is going to be purified in the tribulation.
You're talking about like the three different going through the tribulation, but the three different stones. I wasn't sure what you said, that they go through the last one.
The stone represents the of a 30-fold.
30-fold, okay.
Yeah. If it's 30-fold, the Bible talks about there's three different parts of 50.
Okay,
there's
like
one
the gold.
Falling away.
Like the gold would be like 100-fold.
Yeah, and silver is 60-fold.
60-fold,
but I'm
and
say,
bronze would be 30-fold.
The stones that talk about, but there's three parts. I'm not sure if I can explain it to right. Three parts. It's, that's the stars. Three parts, yeah, that's the stars. Three, a third is going to fall away right now before tribulation. A third is going in tribulation, falling away. And the last third is going to be purified. That's a good idea. That's the stars. They talk about the sun, moon, and stars.
So are you, what is the connection with the stones?
If you looked at that gold, that's 100-fold, that's your sun glory. Silver, it's your moon glory. But stones, the star glory. There's three groups of stars. On that three parts in the Bible, it says a third. Maybe I'm confusing it. A third part is falling away right now. A third part is in tribulation, and a third part is going to be purified to go on that.
Amen.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Hey Joe, I put a couple scriptures in the chat. Is that kind of what you were referring to a little bit, Zechariah?
It's like a, I'll copy that part that I'm talking about and put it in the chat. Okay.
Okay. How many of you want to hear a good song to go to bed on? I tell you what. And then let me know what you think of it as far as a Christian song.
my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie where the rivers haunt. Still waters calm and my soul's restored. He leads me on by his faithful call. Table before my foe, anoints my head till the blessing flows. My cup runs over, grace in the air. Surely his mercy is always there. All my life his goodness will chase. I'll dwell with the Lord in his holy place. No more fear, no more strife. He's the shepherd.
All right, what'd you think of it? Unique, wasn't it? It was unique. All right, we're about out of time. Has anybody got anything else before we leave? Lord, we just thank you for
another. Yeah, that was pretty good. Oops, sorry.
Let's go. Think you could sing that, Barbara?
No.
That was quick.
I bet you could. I bet you could. I bet we all could. God gave us an anointing to do it. We just need that anointing to do it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for blessing everybody tonight and giving them a good night's sleep, Lord. We praise you for that, in Jesus' name. Except for Joe. I think Joe will be up for a while. Let's see. Yep. He's just now getting up. All right. Y'all be blessed. We'll see you. What is this? So we'll see you next Tuesday or tomorrow night. Bye, y'all.